This is Jim Inkster. Thanks for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Great to have you aboard. Matt Doyle producing, and yours truly at the ready. If you'd like to give us a call, we'd like to hear from you. 877-217-5757. That's 877-217-5757. And talk at talklouisiana.org if you'd like to send an email. Jim Henderson is going to be our first guest in just a moment, the president of the University of Louisiana system. He is a native of Shreveport, went to high school in the lovely hamlet of Siloam Springs, Arkansas, and then went to Northwestern State for his undergraduate work, went to West Florida for his master's, and the University of Maryland for his Ph.D., and Maryland won the 2002 NCAA basketball title. Hard to believe that's been 17 years, but it has. And last night, another member of the Atlantic Coast Conference, Virginia, won the championship 85-77 in overtime over Texas Tech. So hats off to the Cavaliers of Virginia, which is one of the alma maters of junior U.S. Senator John Neely Kennedy. And also congratulations to Kim Mulkey of Baylor University, pride of Hammond and Louisiana Tech. Her team won the women's championship. Jim Henderson, good morning to you.
Good morning. Wasn't it great to see free throws being made down the stretch?
Yeah, I tell you, that guy from Virginia was a machine.
Oh, it was good basketball last night, fundamental basketball.
And free throws are a big part of the game, just like field goals.
That's right.
You know, you can have a great team, and if you have a bad kicker, look out, as Nick Saban found out. And if you don't hit your free throws down the stretch, as Dale Brown found out in 1987 in Cincinnati against Indiana University, you can lose a 12-point lead in 6 minutes and lose 77-76 and then watch Indiana win the national championship a week later in New Orleans. If not for Fess Irvin and a few others missing the front ends of 1-1, the Fighting Tigers of 87 would have won the national title.
But bad memories.
It
bad memories.
It did not happen.
Too soon.
But you represent 9 schools, all of whom have major athletic entities: UNO, SLU, Nichols, Louisiana Tech, UL Lafayette, UL Monroe, Grambling, Northwestern State, and McNeese. Collectively, these schools have 92,000 students. And since we're talking about athletics, every now and then I see some editorial columnist saying we need to get away from funding for these schools because, unlike LSU, which pays for all the other sports with its football program, these schools don't have that luxury. Are athletics important?
No, athletics are vital to our mission, to our college life. They bring great students to our campuses. You know, when people look at it from a dollars and cents perspective, sometimes they can get caught up in the way that higher ed does financing. Imagine that. It's a little bit complex. But if you look at the 100 scholarship athletes, for instance, at Northwestern State, and the 400 non-scholarship athletes, you don't count the revenue that comes in mm-hmm. from those non-scholarship athletes. And it's more than a break-even, and it's great for these communities around Louisiana.
And these schools have produced some great lights. Northwestern, for example, produced Edward Jim Orgeron, head coach of
whatever happened to that guy,
Fighting Tigers, who's been making some interesting statements of late. I'm sure the governor likes him, but anyway, Edward Jim Orgeron, Bobby Hebert,
many Joe Delaney, the greatest demon of all time, Mark Duper. You know, and Joe and Mark were on the NCAA championship 4x100-meter relay team. Mm-hmm.
I remember when I first started working at the Louisiana Radio Network, it was a few months before Joe Delaney drowned. He could not swim. This great athlete could not swim. Some kids were faltering. They drowned too, and he jumped in and tried to save them, and that was the end of Joe. But what a tragedy, right in the prime of his career.
You know, A.L. Williams went to visit him at Houghton High School, and they had everyone. I think the Tigers were after him, Texas A&M, Alabama. And Joe just sat down with A.L. in the back room and said, you know, Coach, can I just come to Northwestern? And A.L. very charitably said, well, sure, Joe, we'll take you.
All
and
right.
It went on from there.
And Northwestern has produced some fine players. A listener notes, don't forget Gary Reasons.
Gary Reasons. Oh, that, you remember the goal line hit in the snow? One of the greatest.
New York Giants.
Greatest hit I think I've ever seen in a game of football. And Gary is doing great. He's still a great friend of Northwestern. And listen, Jazz Ferguson, who just graduated from Northwestern this year, from West Feliciana, is going to make a good pro along with his brother Jalen Ferguson, defensive end from Louisiana Tech. So it's lots of great athletes coming from these schools.
And every one of these schools has a story similar to that. Northwestern is probably more pronounced in having some athletic luminaries who have gone there. And let's not forget Big Lee Smith, who's going to the Baseball Hall of Fame. LSU, by the way, has no Baseball Hall of Famers, but Northwestern State will soon have one. And Lee Smith, and the only other one is in Louisiana from a college here, is Lou Brock from Southern. But these other schools, they're precious in their communities. Lawmakers fight for them at the Capitol, and occasionally we'll have a lawmaker, in some cases governors like Buddy Romer, say, we got too many schools, we got too many schools. How do you answer those?
Well, it depends. How do you say we have too many schools? Really, the conversation should be about access, and are we developing talent, and are we developing talent that's prepared for life and career success, and are we doing it in an effective and efficient way? And by any measure, in fact, you can go to the University of Louisiana System website. We've opened a new transparency page that compares our system to like institutions around the southern region states, and you can see some real measures of that. We produce degrees at the second lowest cost per degree in the South, which that's unit cost of production. Now, when you think about those units being students and that cost of production being our investment in their future, it's not quite as positive a spin. But certainly we've got an efficient operation, and when you look at the success of our graduates, $8.8 billion impact our graduates have on the state of Louisiana. It's fantastic.
$8.8 billion?
$8.8 billion. Total $10.9 billion economic impact by these nine schools.
All right, and 92,000 people go to these schools. So it's by far the biggest academic entity. Now, a guy named Bobby Jindal had your job at one point.
He did.
On the way to whatever happened to him.
You know what?
But anyway, he became a big cutter of funding to higher education. It was hard to fathom because he knew fully well how higher education fuels the economy. It's the engine that makes any state prominent. Huey Long figured that out a long time ago. What in the world happened, and how are we recovering from the cuts that were in place for two terms?
Well, you know, we went through 8 years of one of the largest disinvestments in higher education. It was a fundamental shift in the funding model, where it went from state support to being student support. 70% of our resources in 2009 came from the state of Louisiana. This last year, about 26% of our resources came from the state. The rest came from students and from employers. And so it was a fundamental shift in the business model. And listen, it wasn't all negative. There's some positive repercussions of that. It means we have to be more nimble, more responsive to the economy, more responsive to the market. So I'm not one that says it was all gloom and doom. But these last 2 years under Governor Edwards and with the work of the legislature, a lot of leaders in the legislature, we stabilized funding for higher education. We fulfilled the TOPS promise. And as a result of those two things, we're focused on our mission to a greater extent than we ever have before. It's one of the presidents of the UL system came together with a plan to create the most educated generation in Louisiana's history, a population that's going to allow us to realize the potential that's eluded us for generations, and we couldn't be more excited about that.
877-217-5757 for Dr. Jim Henderson, president of the University of Louisiana system, and a reminder that tomorrow at the Capitol there will be a rally, and representatives from all nine of these schools will be on hand along with Dr. Henderson, and I suspect you've done this a few years. You're going to have quite a turnout at the Capitol.
We'll have about 1,500 students. It'll be a decidedly different tone this year. This year is not about rallying to prevent cuts or to fulfill TOPS. This is about showcasing the future of Louisiana so that our policymakers, as they're making decisions, can realize that if we take a longer-term view, look at this potential talent that's coming forward, this new generation that's emerging, and we make the policy decisions that give them opportunities and result in economic growth for this state, those will be exciting times for all of us.
Now, a listener asks about the University of New Orleans, which a few years ago joined the UL system.
That's right.
It had been part of the LSU system. How has that process gone for UNO?
Well, I think that they're starting to emerge from the malaise of post-Katrina and then some redefining of what they're doing, refocus, if you will, on their centers of excellence. The enrollment growth was up this year. The projected enrollment growth, I don't want to spill the beans yet because that's their thunder. It looks like this next fall is going to be one of the largest entering classes they've had in some time. John Nicolo is the president there. He's doing some amazing work. We met with some legislators and the UNO team just last week on the set of NCIS New Orleans, and it was fantastic. You know, if you've never been on a television show set, it's the realism when you're there is magnificent. But it showcased some of the diversity in the program that they offer there. So they have world-class performing arts in addition to what they've been known for years, their business and management, their engineering programs, their naval architecture program. So it's a great mix at UNO right there on the beautiful banks of Lake Pontchartrain.
Well, a listener noting that I mentioned 92,000 asked me a trivia question, and I don't have the information at the ready, but I'll give it a shot. Tracy at the Capitol asked me to say what are their top three schools in the system in terms of enrollment. Before you know it, but I'm guessing UL Lafayette is probably the biggest.
UL Lafayette's the biggest. Okay. Southeastern is next.
All right, and I would have guessed that, by the way.
Okay.
In fact, Southeastern has lost some enrollment, but there's still, what, 16,000?
About 16,000 students.
And number three, Tech?
Louisiana Tech up in the Piney Woods has about 14,000 students. Just enrolled their largest class, and Northwestern State just had its largest enrollment since it opened its doors in 1884. Another piece of trivia for you real quick. In 1894, Chancellor Boyd, President Boyd, at Northwestern State, who became the president at LSU, said that the industrial school, Louisiana Tech, would be a perpetual menace to the normal school. So, rivalries go back a long way.
We'll have another segment with Dr. Jim Henderson, president of the University of Louisiana System. Tomorrow is UL System Day at the Capitol. You get started what time?
At 11:30.
Okay, we'll be back after this pause on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing, and your number is 877-217-5757. Dr. Jim Henderson with us for another segment, and then we'll hear from Michael Henderson, who heads the LSU Public Policy Research Lab. But Jim Henderson is a busy man in charge of 9 prominent universities in our state: UNO, SLU, Nichols, Louisiana Tech, UL Lafayette, UL Monroe, Grambling, Northwestern State, McNeese, 92,000 students, and you have this entity called Compete Louisiana. What is this?
Well, that's a new program that we're rolling out with great gusto next month. It's a program designed as an outreach to the 653,000 working adults in Louisiana that have some college but no degree. Mm-hmm. Now, many of them got up to 90, 95 hours towards that degree, and they've just reached kind of the limit of where they can move professionally. We think if we have a model that eliminates the barriers, cuts through the red tape, and makes going back to college easy, it's a time constraint, you know, as for a working adult, then we can help them with the aid of some coaches get through that admissions process, stay with them all the way to graduation, and then give them a competitive advantage in the Louisiana economy.
Here's a question from Steve. How have community colleges affected the enrollment at these universities?
You know, I think there was a large concern that community colleges would take enrollment from these universities. That really hadn't been the case. In fact, they're some of our greatest partners. You know, if you go to Northwest Louisiana, on the campus of Bossier Parish Community College is a facility that's jointly housed with, we call it BPSI colloquially, and Louisiana Tech, right in the National Cyber Research Park. It's one of the extraordinary partnerships that exists, and it's driving economic growth. What's really our enrollment has been fine simply because the market is demanding a more educated workforce than ever before. Job titles haven't changed that much, but when you look at the skills that are involved with those mm-hmm. job titles, I use the executive assistant all the time. My executive assistant spends very little time typing into a Rolodex, right, cards. Right. She spends a lot of time making critical decisions that affect 92,000 students, that affect an $800 million budget. And so her role has changed significantly. So you would imagine that the critical thinking skills, professional communication skills are much more important for that role.
Here's a question from a listener about the names of universities. You and I, and most of our listeners, can remember when UL Louisiana was USL and UL Monroe was Northeast. And the question is, do these other universities, like Nichols, does it have the option of it if it wants to become UL Thibodaux?
It certainly could. Spelling would be fun in Thibodaux, just like it would be in Natchitoches, but absolutely they could. You know, the two institutions that did it, of course, it was President Audemars at UL Lafayette, and it was, I think it was Lawson Swearingen was the president at ULM when they made the name change, and those are the only two that have done it so far.
But the others do have that option.
They certainly do have that option.
And I recall the year of 1984 when USL changed its name, and then the legislature took it back.
There's, you know, it's a great, if you graduated, I think, in that December class, you're the only class that has University of Louisiana, and that's it, on your diploma. So
now it says University of Louisiana Lafayette.
That's right.
But they call themselves UL.
No, they call themselves ULL. Now, some of the local media and others will call it UL. And this is what confuses folks. In the athletic branding, mm-hmm. when they're not referring to the university, they're just saying the team is Louisiana's Raging Cajuns. And that causes a little bit of controversy, and I'll get a phone call or two, an email or two.
I would
that.
Imagine the folks in Monroe probably don't like that.
You know, much. ULM has rebranded as ULM, mm-hmm. and they've got a new logo that harkens back to their NLU Indian days. And it's
yeah. In fact, I didn't realize we were going to get so many calls about the names. But the question is why NLU gave up the Indians. I think we know.
You know, I think you saw that happen a lot. I'll tell you, ULM Warhawks has really taken on. And if you look at that new logo, if you're nostalgic about that, I used to go to NLU Indian Camp when Pat Collins was the football coach. Pat played for my dad at Fair Park High School in Shreveport, so it's a long lineage there.
I really like Pat.
This new logo is just fantastic. So it brings back all the great that you remember from NLU.
Do you think these universities, all nine of them, are here for the long haul?
Oh, I think so. I think, matter of fact, most of them are stronger than they've ever been. And just look at the renaissance that's occurring at Grambling State under the leadership mm-hmm. of Rick Gallo, Tech leading that emergence on the I-10, I-20 technology mm-hmm. corridor. Sewella in Lake Charles is the community college, but McNeese in Lake Charles. And they're right in the midst of the largest economic expanding area in the country. And you can just go on and on. Nichols with their new president, Jay Clune. Of course, Joe Savoy is kind of new to this game. He's at UL Lafayette. He's only been in higher education in Louisiana for 40 years, but is continuing to be an innovator and a great leader.
Well, how is overall funding now? The other day there was an editorial in The Advocate about the money that we as a people give for tax credits for the film industry.
Yeah, sure.
Over $100 million a year. So what's your funding like? What do you get from the state?
So we in formula funding, we get about $215 million
for all nine
universities.
All nine.
That's down from about $700 million 10 years ago.
Well, I think all of us realize that we have to pick and choose and decide which is a priority. And some people in the Advocate makes a case that higher education is much more substantial to the vibrance and future of our state than film tax credits in the movie industry, and others would say there's spinoff activity that enhances the state, but it's a discussion that we should have more often.
Well, you know, our legislators, and I don't envy them because they have to deal with that scarcity equation. They have unlimited demands on very limited resources, and so they have to make decisions about where's the soundest investment in our future. We just had an economic impact study done on our institutions. I mentioned the $10.9 billion on the economic impact, but what I didn't mention is we also did a rate of return analysis. So students get a 14.4% annualized rate of return on their expenditures to get a college degree from the UL system. Taxpayers get a 12.5% annualized rate of return. Now, I don't know how your 401k is doing, but 12.5% is a pretty good return for our taxpayers. We're proud of that.
Rinaldi in North Baton Rouge. Hi, Rinaldi. You're on the air with Dr. Jim Henderson.
Hi, Rinaldi.
Good morning, Dr. Henderson. Jim, you know I'm a proud Southern University alumni.
Yes, sir.
But just a question, how many African-American or minorities, I just call it minority students, are part of the UL system?
So it's about a fourth of our enrollment, and we've so 25%, so 25% of 92,000 will get you there. We have some plans to ensure that we've got environments of inclusion, not just diversity on our campuses, and we hope to drive that number. If we're going to reach our goals of creating the most educated generation in our history, we've got to reach the populations that have historically been underserved in Louisiana. Now, Southern's done a fantastic job. Grambling State is our historically black university. But all of our universities need to have environments that every population wants to be there. They're invited, they're included, and they can thrive.
Would you like to see Southern join your system?
Well, Southern is the only HBCU system that exists in the country. It's a land-grant institution. It is goes back to the mm-hmm. to the Land-Grant Act in the late 1800s. Ray Belton has doing an extraordinary job. I don't think structure is the issue.
Now, the 25% is fairly close to the population of the state. It's not that far off, and LSU has made really a full-court press to try to get more minority inclusion, and I think the enrollment there is about 10% African-American now. LSU, by the way, was named the most diverse campus in America a few years ago because of the large number of students from other places, not in the United States. But on the whole, I would say if you're 25%, you're doing pretty well.
You know, we've got generations to undo. We've got to go back, and you know, if you go back to 1954, that was when UL Lafayette was the first predominantly white institution in Louisiana to open its doors to students of color. And I believe it was the district attorney at the time threatened to throw the president in jail. We've come a long way since 1954. But we've got a long way to go.
1954, there are a lot of people who are alive and probably can even remember the year of 1954. After all, that's 65 years. A lot's happened in 65 years.
That's right.
And we've come a long way, but we have many more miles to travel. And I think a vibrant higher education system is the way to get there.
You know, more and more, it is the college degree is your entree into social and economic self-sufficiency.
Yeah. Today, you can't go as far as you would like, in most cases, without a college degree. Although a listener notes that two members of our state congressional delegation don't have a college degree, and neither does the head of the Board of Regents, the chairman. I don't think you want to go there, but sometimes you can do it without it, and hats off to you if you can. But in most cases, having that diploma is important. And as my mother said, they can never take it away
That's
from
exactly
you.
Right.
Take anything else away from you, your freedom, your wealth, your family, but they can never take a college degree away from you.